Thank you very much, operator. Warm welcome from my side. Thank you for joining the annual result conference call for analysts and investors. 2019, I think, a year not without challenges, but as we feel, a year in which the performance of the company was strongly impacted by viscose and viscose prices. However, the underlying, I think, strategic directions, operational performance, very solid. Thomas will dive into more detail into the numbers later on. I think most of the figures you know from the preliminary figures. On the strategic highlights, we did what we had set out to do. Some words also in the subsequent pages on that. End of last year, we then went through a strategy revisiting exercise, and we came out of this exercise also revisiting our targets. I will cover that also at the end of today's conference call, but I think the one thing that I would like to stress is we feel confident that by the year 2024 we will achieve an 800 million euro EBITDA given by the organic growth measures that we are taking. ROCE financial leverage will remain unchanged. We will turn the company more and more into a specialty fiber company with way over 75% then by 2024. Backward integration also well above 75%, and CO2 emissions reductions we target by the year 2024 already 40% on a per ton of sold product. Stefan Zieler, who joins us from Acroma, a textile coloring company, joined us by March 1st. He will succeed Heiko Arnold as a CTO. And Christian Skilly, who is today responsible for pulp in Mondi, will join us by June 1st and will take the leadership for our pulp activities. Strategy execution, we delivered on those things that we have set out to deliver in 2019, whether it is our Brazil investment, dissolved wood pulp that we decided on in December, the progressing on our lyocell plant in Thailand that we decided to build in June of last year. We finalized our Tensilux filament pilot plant. We expanded our capacity for Ecovero at our production site in China. And we were very proud that we already overaccomplished our specialty target for 2020. Increasingly, Lenzing gets chosen but also recognized due to our sustainability focus. We are clearly recognized as a sustainability leader within the industry. We increasingly translate this recognition in the industry in very positive ratings that will also, I think, get more focus in the months and quarters ahead. We were very pleased with the success of our green ESG-linked bonded loan of 500 million and the fact that we not only have a very clear climate mission, climate journey, sustainability strategy, but that we also, with our climate targets, have been the first one in our industry to get recognized by the Science Based Targets Initiative. So our targets, our activities contribute to the Paris Agreement as per the SBT initiative's definition. Next to our sustainability focus, 2019 was also the year of brands. We continue to strongly focus on pushing Tencel, but also we did a lot on the non-woven side. Viocell as a brand was very successfully launched. You remember that our total share in non-woven is 30%, and in times like this where hygiene and so on is at the forefront of people's attention, we see this part of the business doing particularly well, and we are very pleased that we have next to the textile business also a very solid second leg, the non-woven business, and our brands there make a difference, and we see both viscose as well as lyocell to be well placed in this market. Here you see a couple of KPIs that we continue to track in order to evaluate our branding performance. Fabric certification up on an all-time high at above 10,000 certification. That is always a good vector also for the new collections that will be launched, including our branded fibers. Particularly pleased with the co-branding programs where brands use our Tencel, in this case, but also VeoCell, as a strong endorsement for their brand. And by doing that, it strengthens the credibility of our brand. We had 109 of those co-branding agreements already in the course of last year. And the brand awareness of Tencel continues to go up. I already said in previous call, we are dependent on the region anywhere between number 2 and number 4 position as the most recognized ingredient and the only ingredient that is recognized as a sustainability promise. I'm personally not one of those Oscar night watchers on television, but this year I was particularly pleased that we had 3 nominees, if I would call it that way. There were 3 dresses using Tencel Lux at the Oscars, and we were particularly pleased not only to have one of the Oscar winners, but to have Louis Vuitton to make a lot of media and social media coverage, mentioning on all channels that Tencel Lux was the basis of the dresses that brought us more than 2.4 billion PR reaches and more than 40 million digital reaches via those various social posts. And I think the spillover for the total Tencel brand franchise was very noticeable. A second product that I would like to mention on the strategic initiatives was Ecovero. You remember Ecovero is, in essence, our viscose with a different sustainability promise, earmarked with a marker, with a physical identification system. As of this year, second half, we will then also have a digital identification system. Sales last year were already some good 7% of our total viscose capacity, and we see a very, very strong growth momentum, and we are very positive that this year we will well overachieve on 10% of our total capacity. Price premiums in this for this product continue to do very well. You remember, I always guided that it's somewhere around the 10 to 15% price premium over viscose. At times like this, we in part even achieve higher premiums for these very special products, but demand in all parts of the world, but particularly in Asia, even at times like this, remains to be very, very solid. Looking at the market, I think medium term, no different picture to what we showed you already in the previous call. Wood-based cellulosic fibers gonna do well in the overall fiber basket. We don't see their changes going forward, some 4 to 6% growth rate. However, short term, we see on the commodity front a very difficult environment. It started with the US-China trade conflict. We saw significantly more capacity coming into the market, specifically in viscose, but also in some of the other fibers. We saw decreased utilization rate, and as a consequence, we saw polyester at very low prices. We saw viscose at historic low prices. And despite the slight uptick on cotton, we also saw cotton prices to be on the very low side. In contrast, our specialty fiber business remained comparatively resilient. You see here also a slight downtick on the specialty curve. Please do not forget that the success we have with viscose specialties, which are priced on a viscose plus basis, have in the mix effect, of course, an effect, and that is why you see this curve also bending downward. Overall, we were very pleased with the pricing performance of our specialty fibers in this very difficult market. Looking a bit deep dive now into viscose, the capacity additions that we projected did come in. As a consequence, we saw utilization rate drop over the year 77%. Towards the end of the year, we were even just in the low 70s with it. The standard viscose prices have declined some good 30% throughout 2019. We ended the year at around 9,400 RMB per ton. Since then, prices have moved sideways. You see on both the upper and the lower chart that the margin, the profit margins, as well as the conversion margins over dissolved wood pulp are at a very difficult level. The industry is making today substantial losses in viscose, and also the contribution margin over pulp is at an all-time low, which means also for integrated players, this is a very difficult environment. So also dissolved wood pulp prices had a similar situation. We saw 630 tons on the dissolved wood pulp front, and all in all, I think the viscose industry is at the moment grim. However, I would also say it is unlikely to get worse because there is very little air left in dissolved wood pulp. There is negative air left in the viscose conversion. So I think that would indicate it will not get much worse. However, I think we all need to look at that in the current COVID-19 scenario, and we will get to that in the outlook. On the capacity side, we do expect that some of the projects that are going on still will be finalized this year. This will be anywhere between 300 to 500 kilotons. So we will not see a big relief on utilization rates in 2020. However, then as of 2021, next to some spillovers that we still might see of some up to 200 kiloton, if at all, we then do not see any further projects at the moment currently in the making. And we do then expect to have a similar situation as we had in 2015, 16, 17, when very little capacity was being added. On the lyocell market side, the industry develops as we, I think, projected, as expected. After having been the only market developer for years, having been in essence also the bottleneck for growth in the industry due to supply constraint, we had in 2019 companies entering the market with some 50,000 tons, and over the next 2 years, we expect each year some 130,000 tons in terms of capacity that might get added. That is in line with our strategic planning. It's some 2 years later than what we had expected when we launched the strategy in 2015. And we feel we are well positioned. Number one, we do expect this development will help further market growth. From our setup and our cost position, we feel very comfortable, and we're not having one lyocell. We have around 50 different SKUs targeted for different applications, different functionalities, and by doing that, I think we are well suited to serve our customers. Last, also the ecological footprint from our product continues to draw attention because, contrary to our competition, we're the only non-coal-based company with lyocell, and that get with an energy-intense product also important. And so all in all, the lyocell market is developing as expected, and we feel we are well set up for this development. On expansion projects, we were very happy with the decision that we could start the dissolved wood pulp project in Brazil in December. Since then, we not only have all the licenses, we have the biomass secured, we have all the engineering finalized. We have set up the company now with Duratex. We also, I think, made good progress with all the suppliers. We have signed the agreements with the various EPC suppliers for the different islands. All in all, the project is well on track, and maybe then later on in the question, Thomas will also focus some of the financing detail that you mentioned here in the slide. All in all, we are very pleased with the progress of this project, and we are fully on track. Startup is planned for mid-2022. Lyocell, same story. We are well on track. The project is running in time, in budget. Bioenergy at the site is secured, so Thailand has the potential to become our first fully carbon neutral fiber site in the world, and we will also benefit strongly from the significant tax benefit that those strategic investments in Thailand are being awarded with. With that, I would like to hand over to Thomas to focus on the financials.
Thank you, Stefan. Hello and welcome also from my side. Let me guide you through the most important financials of 2019, and let me start with revenues. Actually, revenues came in with 2.1 billion for 2019. That compares to 2.17 billion the year before. So we are looking at a decrease of slightly more than 3% or 70 million. The main driver, of course, of the decrease was the significantly lower prices for standard viscose. However, we could largely offset the effect by further mix improvements and also by our specialty prices, which were slightly up compared to last year. With regards to our share of specialty fibers, we are now slightly above 51%. That compares to 45% the year before. So actually, we also made very good progress in this regard. Moving on to operating results and starting with EBITDA. EBITDA came in with 327 million. That compares to 382 million the year before. So that's a drop of 55 million. So that's less than actually the price impact we saw on the revenue slide. So actually we were in the position to compensate a bit. Looking at EBIT, actually EBIT came in with 162 compared to 238. So that's a difference of 31% or 75 million. So compared to the delta we saw on EBITDA level, what we have to add, of course, is higher depreciation. The higher depreciation was caused of, on the one side by the higher CapEx spend of the last 2 years. This is one reason. The other reason is actually, of course, the first-time application of IFRS 16. And last but not least, actually, we impaired some intangible assets at our mothballed site in the U.S. Moving on to net earnings. Actually, net earnings came in with 115 million compared to 148 the year before. So actually, looking at the difference there, actually, please keep in mind that in 2018, we had a one-off impact included that was resulting out of the acquisition of a 30% share at our Chinese site that did cost 22 million on a consolidated basis. With regards to dividend, dividends, actually, we will propose at the shareholder meeting a dividend of 1 euro for 2019. Moving on to cash flow and trading working capital, as you can see here, actually operating cash flow fairly stable over the last 3 years. Free cash flow basically a zero, so that means that actually we could pay for all our capex in 2019 with our operating cash flow. Trading working capital, as in the past years, actually always hovering around the level of 400 to 450 million euros. Last but not least, a couple of balance sheet metrics. Actually, equity, very, very strong still, of course, with 1.55 billion euros. That's almost unchanged compared to last year. Equity ratio went down a couple of percentage points from 59 to 50%. That was, of course, driven by the significant increase of our total assets. Total assets increased by almost 20% on the one side, of course, driven by the investment in fixed assets. This was one reason, and the other reason was, of course, that in Q4 we placed a Schuldschein with an amount of 500 million, and that, of course, is also reflected here in the liquid assets. Liquid assets actually went up from 250 million to almost 600 million by end of 2019. Net financial debt came in with 400 million. I mentioned before that actually we could pay for our capex basically with our operating cash flow. What we then still need to add is, of course, the dividend we paid in 2019, and then, of course, the impact out of IFRS 16. So overall, from my perspective, I think a very solid year, especially when you keep in mind the very challenging market environment we were in. And with that, I hand back to Stefan for the outlook.
Thank you very much. I, I would like to structure the outlook a bit in two parts, the first one more in the short term, the second one more in the medium term. Outlook 2020, limited visibility at this moment in time. I think the situation around COVID-19 does not provide the basis for, I think, solid, you know, precise outlooks. We do expect that the challenging market environment will persist. We do expect that commodity prices, viscose, polyesters, and so forth, are likely to remain subdued. Viscose and dissolved wood pulp prices are at historic lows. They have moved sideways over the last weeks. We don't expect them to really get worse. However, we also don't expect a fast rebound. Caustic prices are, in the meanwhile, very supportive for us because now also Europe prices came substantially down. But in all, I think the market environment will remain challenging for us. On the specialty fiber business, we continue to do comparatively very well. I think all of the fundamentals we discussed in the outlook, and I think we still see that this pillar will be not only, I think, make our company much more resilient, but also we will provide a positive momentum. In this market environment, we think the 2020 results will be below 2019 level, and I think more precise, I think, color to that we would give them during the Q1 call when maybe we get some more clarity on the environment of COVID-19 around us. Now, as I mentioned in my introduction, the strategic review that we undertook underpinned that we are in the right business, that we are setting on the right horses. We will continue the transformation into a specialty fiber company focused on wood-based cellulosic fibers. We will stay the course. The focus areas will remain the backward integration into dissolved wood pulp. The specialization next to Thailand, we will continue to convert line by line in Asia into a specialty viscose lines, and by doing that, reducing our exposure to the commodity cycles. Next to innovation, it will be branding and sustainability that will sort of dominate our promise to our customers, to the downstream value chain, and we believe that this is the very solid way to go forward. I don't want to sound like a broken record, but in the textile industry, in the fiber industry, the strategy of profitable, purpose-led growth makes Lenzing a unique company. We have chosen sustainability not only as the core value, but as the key business driver and innovation driver. And in the way we green up the value chain by getting customers to choose our fibers versus other fibers, the way we now via the World Economic Forum, by different industry association, community activities, bring our gospel and have others to sing the song as well, we're structurally influencing change, partnering for change, and our operating model, whether it's in lyocell, but also increasingly on viscose, to keep things in circle, minimizing environmental footprint, I think is a key argument why I think the brand Lenzing and our product brands, Viocell, Tencel, Ecovero, and Lenzing as a product brand is going to continue to do well. We reviewed, as we are now in 2020, also our targets. I think this core 10 value driver will remain the same, specialization, vertical integration, sustainability. And we decided that we communicate a target of €800 million of EBITDA. ROCE targets and leverage targets remain unchanged. So by 2024, we will again be well above 10% on the return on capital employed, leverage net financial debt over EBITDA below 2.5. But also, we communicate three strategic targets. Specialty share will be way above 75% by 2024. The backward integration will, for a period of time, become a slight net seller into the market. However, that's not our strategic intent to be a net seller. Strategic intent is to be a net buyer. But with our lyocell growth, we will eat up this extra capacity and Our target is to be above 75% to dissolved wood pulp integration. And on our road to carbon neutrality, we have set ourselves the target by 2024, we will reduce the CO2 emission per ton of product by 40%. If you compare what we have done in the previous strategy cycle and what we are set out to do now, you see that the current EBITDA is well below the mid-cycle levels, that however the expansion projects that we are working on will provide a substantial lift in the earning profile, EBITDA quality, but also reduce the amount of volatility that we have in our earnings, because the areas that we focus are more resilient, the areas that we focus in the end support each other, and as a consequence we see ourselves in 2024 at the end of the transformation cycle, having concluded what we have set out to do in 2015. With that, we would like to finalize our presentation and open the floor for questions. And operator, please.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we will begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star followed by one on their touch tone telephone. If you wish to withdraw your question, you may press star followed by two. If you're using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selections. Anyone who has a question may press star followed by one at this time. One moment for the first question, please. The first question comes from the line of Matthias Pfeifenberger from DB. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, gents. Congrats to the Oscars and to the recent hirings. Couple of questions from my side. First, I ask them one by one. So, firstly, on 2020, are you fine with the 280-290 million EBITDA consensus in terms of in the light of COVID and also the supply chain disruptions?
Okay, we will not give more quality to that. I think that at this moment in time, we really need to see what we get back from the various segments. In China, we are fully back on stream. Our plants run full. However, I think we need to interpret the situation day by day. The consensus today with 270. Four out there, I think overall you guys do a good job.
Okay. Second one is on the 800 million target. First of all, I think it's appreciated that you have basically a long-term target and a vision. I think it's very important for a company also in quantitative terms. I would just dig in a little, how much of price recovery in viscose and how much of potentially some price declines in tensile are baked into the guidance, and what is the included D&A level for this 800 million?
If I sort of would deviate a bit up the 800 million target and use again in rough terms a bit sort of 2019, I think to be at around 150 million-ish on the viscose portfolio mix from viscose to more specialty grade, continuous improvement, and yet there is also some price recovery included in there, because the level that we have now, I think, is at the trough of a cycle, but I think mid-cycle, this is not the level that we would see. We would see another 200 million-ish on the dissolved wood pulp side, and then 100 to 150 million range for our specialty growth that brings in both the capacity additions, I think reflects that indeed we have margin improvement programs on the cost side. We will see some competition in this market. So all in all, I think this is the way we would break the 800 million up.
Okay. Thanks a lot. And then also on the standard viscose pricing. Now we've seen a 9,500 floor for quite some time. Now it's really not meant in a cynical way, but previously you called 12,500 a floor, and then obviously the world has changed again. I see your point on dissolving wood pulp, but then again, you will be launching vast amounts of dissolving wood pulp into the open market as well. And also, we're just looking at supply chain disruptions and potentially a global recession. So why can't viscose drop further? I mean, it's a bit of a black box. I see the arguments on the losses and on the conversion margins, but right now it's like another big black swan event in the market, right?
I think, Mr. Pfeifenberger, my comment really, I think, is focused on what is the commercial logic if you just look at conversion margins, how much air is still on the dissolved wood pulp side, and I think that in basic drives this statement. I cannot disagree with you that if you just look at the last couple of days, the different scenarios are also possible. And that's why I think we also refrain from giving too detailed guidance now on the very short run. At the same time, at that time I was not yet with Lansing, but there were similar discussions around viscose when it came down. Only this time we feel, we have the market that we have. We're not doing any structural mistake in this market. I think we are from a competitive position, both on the pulp side, pulp sourcing side, well set up. And I think that if you look at the input costs for textiles going forward, we historically have seen that at those low prices, demand and suddenly picks also strongly up in new collection. Whether this applies now in the next quarters, I think there we both can have a heated debate about. I think there we just need to wait.
Okay, and then a couple of technical follow-ups. Maybe you or Mr. Obendorf can come back on the DNA related to the 800 million. And then also, since 24 is kind of some time away, maybe you want to also update us on 21, which is going to be the CapEx peak, and I keep coming back to that. What is the leverage you expect when the CapEx is basically at the peak, or what's the ROCE level you would accept as a minimum level, or what's even the EBITDA budget in that year? Can you give us some light there? And I really appreciate all the transparency here.
I mean, actually, with regards to CapEx level for 20 and 21, actually, we expect a CapEx level around 750 million for both years. Of course, this will be highly subject to progress we are making with both the big projects, the one in Brazil, of course, but also with the project in Thailand.
I think to give more granularity on 2021 EBITDA, I think that is not something that we would provide at this time. I think on the financing side, I think we're in the middle of finalizing the agreement, and I think you will need to wait a little bit until we can give you more color on that.
And on maybe on the DNA, what's the DNA going to look like when you are basically done with the investments? Depreciation.
Mr. Pfeifenberg, I'm not 100% sure if I understood your question. You mean the depreciation once we are done with the big projects, and you are now referring to the years 23, 24, is my understanding?
Something like that. Exactly.
Look, I mean, we are currently on a level of depreciation around 160 million. Actually, if we do go for all the things we have actually currently in mind, and this is not just actually the big projects. There's a couple of other topics we have in our mind. Actually, depreciation could also double from today's level.
Okay, fair enough. Thanks a lot.
But that, again, is subject to all the projects. I mean, actually, and so far, we only committed to the Thailand project, but also to the Brazil project. There are a couple of other things that we have in our pipeline. However, those things have not yet been decided or approved yet.
Okay, understood.
Next question comes from the line of Sebastian Bray from Berenberg. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for taking my questions. I would have two, please. The first is on the drivers of the EBITDA bridge. Thank you, Mr. Lepotsky, for breaking out the different components. I had two questions on the components in particular. The first was, is the 200 million euro contribution from the DWP facility the fully consolidated amount that is expected and then you pay out the JV in minorities? Or if you were just to take the contribution applicable to Lenzing, is it about 100 million? The second is on the growth in specialty fibers. A number of 100 to 150 million was mentioned. And if I assume that this is a facility that spits out lyocell at current prices of about 3 euro per kilogram or so, you've got about 270 million euro of sales, maybe a bit more, closer to 300. Is it really going to generate EBITDA margins in excess of 30%, or is there something else that I'm missing there, Tensile Lux or some of the other projects? The second question that I have is on financing. Is the financing for the CapEx beyond 2020 secured? And if it's not, would you consider raising equity or would you try and finance it through debt? Thank you.
Okay. The first question I will take and then I will hand over to Thomas for the financing questions. On the EBITDA side for dissolved wood pulp, everything that we are discussing here is always on the basis of full consolidation, whether it is CapEx, whether it is debt, whether it is EBITDA, it is all on the basis of full consolidation. And indeed, we would then, more or less below the EBIT line, then have the interest of our JV partner to be deducted. On the margins in Tensile, we will not give more color to that. Please bear in mind, with the range that I have provided, we have not only Tensile, we also have Modal, in our pipelines, and so it is a mix out of both our lyocell expansions, our modal programs, and everything else that we count to specialty fibers.
Let me then take your second question on the financing, actually, with regards to financing when the Thailand project, anyway, that was secured, the financing for the Thailand project was secured couple of months ago already. With regards to the financing of the Brazil project, we are fully on track according to our timeline. As indicated in the slides, the project will be supported by multilaterals. What do we mean by that? Actually, we are talking to institutions like the International Finance Corporation, but also the Inter-American Development Bank. If you just would Google the project, actually, anyway, you will find the project on their websites, as just recently the environmental report has been published on both those websites, which is a prerequisite, of course, for the approval. So we are fully on track on that and for that, and actually we expect a closing of financing in Q2.
Could I ask a quick follow-up on Modal? Is there a capacity expansion in the works then, or is this referring to something different?
No. Our conversion of our viscose site in Asia includes conversions from standard viscose to Ecovero, you know, includes conversion into more specialty fiber grades, but it also includes plans that we will strengthen our modal footprint also in Asia.
All right, thank you.
Maybe the last comment, there is no plan that we would raise equity. We think that with the way we are set up, the way the whole financing discussions are going, and the quality of our financing is such that we do not see ourselves in a need to raise equity over the strategy cycle.
Understood. Thank you.
As a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your touch tone telephone. The next question comes from the line of Laura Lopez from Bader Bank. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. I have two questions. So I understand that now the visibility is very short, but can you maybe describe to us a little bit how was the situation in the first quarter when the coronavirus crisis was strong in China and in other countries in Asia? And then on the dissolved wood pulp project, can you remind us in the total amount of the project, are you planning to have any hedges on currency, where currently the Brazilian real has significantly devalued, so that should be a little bit on the positive side for you, but I don't know how that works, so maybe explain a little bit that if you have some hedges or some support coming actually from that side. And then can you also help us maybe quantifying what is your expected calculation on interest costs for 2020 and 2021? How will that step up once the financing costs are completed, the financing projects are completed, and you start getting the inflow from that?
Okay, maybe let me start actually with your question on China. Actually, what Lansing does is actually we keep our site up and running even throughout Chinese New Year. So you might have heard from other companies that closed down operation throughout Chinese New Year when then workers actually return to your home province. A lot of those people got stuck, actually, were not allowed to travel back to the factories. That is an issue we did not face. Actually, we kept our site up and running throughout Chinese New Year. However, what happened right after Chinese New Year was that actually due to road restrictions and travel restrictions, actually, we had some issues actually with inbound logistics that lasted for about, let's say, 2 weeks roughly. And for those 2 weeks, actually, we had to shut down two of our three production lines in China. However, since 3 weeks, actually, all the lines are back up and running and actually running at capacity. So actually, the impact in China on our viscose side there was, let's say, a short-lived one that just lasted basically 2 weeks roughly. As per today, everything back up and running, and no issues actually in China with neither with inbound nor with outbound logistics.
Okay, and then very shortly on that, in terms of demand, so you're producing good, but are you still getting, let's say, all of the demand that you normally get or you were expecting?
I think in quarter one, we of course did see that demand was impacted in China, I mean, simply because I think the operating rates at our customers and the downstream was significantly impacted. We now see that this, our direct customers are back up at around 80%, and sort of the weaving and further downstream is also getting back up and running. We did see outside of China quite healthy demand, even some uptick on prices on the viscose side. However, the question I think that many industries, including ourselves, have now is how will the last couple of days translate themselves into the demand in the coming weeks and months? And I think that is yet too early to, I think, comment on. Overall, I think if people do not go to shops, we will see that. I think on the online side, we at the moment see, you know, no substantially different demand than before. But I think this industry, the textile industry, will also not be left without marks from this whole COVID-19 situation.
Great. Thanks for the detail.
Next question is from the line of Teresa Sinwald from Raiffeisen Central Bank. Please go ahead.
Hello, thanks for taking my question. The first one is actually a follow-up on the 2024 target. Am I right that you're accounting for one line at the Thailand plan?
Our plan is that by end of 2021, we'll be up and running with the lyocell plant. We have always guided that we see a need for capacity every 2 years or so, and as a consequence, towards the end of the planning cycle, we do see that also more lyocell capacity will be needed. How this exactly will be phased in, I think that's something that we still need to see.
Okay, thank you. And my second one is regarding CapEx flexibility. So in light of the current situation, and I appreciate that you gave us an indication on the plan for the next 2 years, how much flexibility do you have built in these CapEx plans?
I think on the CapEx side, the two big projects we are aiming to execute as speedily as we can, because it gives the lowest CapEx, and I think also the way we have the way we are structuring our financing will give us sufficient, I think, room to do that. We are, however, very, let's say, conservative on other projects that we approve, including whatever we have on maintenance CapEx and so on. I think there we will be pretty conservative over the months and quarters to come, because given the visibility we have, these are sort of the knobs and levers that we can turn and pull. However, the big projects we will execute with full flash.
Understood. Thank you very much.
As a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your touch-tone telephone. We have a follow-up question from the line of Sebastian Bray from Berenberg. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my follow-up question. I just had a question on how the competitor lyocell that has entered the market has been pitched, and if there is any chance of Lenzing having to make pricing adjustments. Is it still very much this is commodity lyocell and our product is much better? Has there been a feeling that Lenzing needs to be a bit softer in protecting its pricing, or is everything business as usual and we'll wait and see what happens when larger amounts of capacity come to market? Thank you.
I think we haven't seen yet really any serious impact on our business from the capacity that so far came on stream. However, going forward, I would also assume that we will get some price sheets presented by customers from competition that will, I think, ask us, you know, how do you respond to that? And I think, as such, we feel well equipped. It will not be just business as usual. I think it will clearly also ask from us that we are even closer with customers. However, all in all, as I mentioned in my previous slide, the effect that this will have on building market versus the effect it has on just, you know, having more competition at the same customer, I think in total balance, we look at that, I think, with a lot of confidence.
Is the quality of the new capacity comparable to what Lenzing is producing, or are there problems with it?
From the samples that we have seen, we see a mixed picture. Some we feel are of good quality. Others, I think, of so-so quality. However, all in all, China has mastered other challenges than lyocell. So our base assumption is that the quality that our competition will have from a pure product features will be comparable. Whether it is then from a product, from the degree of conformity over many batches, whether it is the same, we need to see. But the overall package with different SKUs, brand, ecological footprint, and I think the long tradition we have in this business on the downstream market, I think will at least provide a very solid base that we can operate from. And then on the margin side, of course, the cost side and the scale side, I think, gives us a lot of protection.
Thank you. And apologies for outstaying my welcome, but a final one. How much of the – what is the – I cannot remember if the company provided quantitative guidance on how much new modal was it was going to convert. Is there any guidance available on that, or is it –
No, we did not provide any guidance that I think will come once we are then with this project in execution.
Thank you very much.
There are no further questions at this time, and I would like to hand back to Stefan Dobatschky for closing remarks. Please go ahead.
Yes, I think I would like to thank you all for participating in this call on a day that I think is very intense for all of us, given the news flow. I would also like to take the opportunity and welcome Stefan Trubrich as a Vice President, Capital Market and Investor Relations within Lenzing. He is here with us in the room. Typically, I think he was used to sit on the other side on this in those calls, but it's great to have him on board, and I think he will also be the one that will support you in going forward to get more color and more insights on the various questions that you might have. Thank you very much for your interest in Lenzing, and looking forward to being in contact with you soon. Thank you.